Hello, I'm Jim Richards. This week's program is going to really be phenomenal because we're going to be talking about a problem with perception. You know, Impact Ministries, we say this all the time, and it's not just a byline or a slogan. We say we want to change the way the world sees God. You see, our problem with God is almost totally perception. We project onto God the way we feel about ourselves, if you really want to know the truth. And all through history, man has had a problem with projecting his ideas about God onto his beliefs about God, and it made it impossible for man to have a sense of dignity and worth, for man to relate to God the way God really intended for us to relate to him, for us to enjoy all the benefits of the covenant, even the old covenant. Man could have had incredible benefits if he had just believed the truth about God. And so this week, I'm telling you what, we're going to help you change that negative perception. I'm telling you, this is a message you want to make sure that all of your family hears, all of your friends hear, and this is probably something you're going to want to listen to all over and over again. We're talking about a problem with perception. And you see, our whole concept of God, the way we see God, the way we understand God, the way we interpret scriptures is usually done from a heart that is filled with fear. I'm telling you, and you can't believe what religion preaches and not be filled with fear, anxiety, and even condemnation. You know, the word condemnation means the expectation of punishment. So many people just walk around waiting for things to go wrong because of the way they feel about themselves. And then when things go wrong, they say, see, I knew it was going to go wrong. But the truth is, fear and condemnation creates a self-fulfilling prophecy, because when we hold fear and condemnation in our heart, we attract to us the very situations that we are afraid and expecting to happen. And that is not God doing that. That is not God making that happen. God doesn't want that. Listen, you can't have a healthy sense of self-worth if you're filled with fear. I mean, stop. Just imagine, I don't know if you've ever been mugged, or if your house has ever been broken into, or you had something violent happen to you, or maybe you grew up in a family where there was an incredibly dominating and maybe violent or volatile parent. Just remember how you felt. You know, when fear is present, you feel insecure all the time. When fear is present, you never really know what you can trust. You really never know what's going to happen. You know, I grew up in fear, and I got news for you. You know, the fear that I lived in growing up, the fear of violence, the fear of being hurt, the fear of possibly even being killed, you know, that did not make me trust my stepfather. That did not make me love my stepfather. That did not endear me to him. Did I want a relationship with him? Sure. Did I want him to love me? Sure. But I didn't love him and I didn't trust him, because you can't trust and love someone that you're afraid of. And unfortunately, religion has used fear as the primary way to get us obeying God. You know, stop and think about it. Fear actually puts you in the fight or flight mode. And for those of you who have been learning how to live out of your heart, or if you've read my book, Moving Your Invisible Boundaries, you realize that once you go into the fear mode, you can no longer hear the voice of God from your heart. You can't even get comfort from God as long as you're holding on to thoughts and the emotions that come from those thoughts that are based on fear and that are based on the expectation of things going wrong. Listen, when you get into fight or flight mode, I'm telling you, your body stops functioning as it should. You know, your blood pressure goes up. Your heartbeat speeds up, your blood leaves your internal organs, and your internal organs need that blood supply to keep you healthy and to nurture those organs, and your blood goes out to your extremities to make it possible for you to run or for you to fight or whatever you got to do. Your hormones get in balance, anxiety begins, all kinds of things happen to you when you get in this fight or flight mode that comes from fear. And unfortunately, most of us live our days expecting something to go wrong, expecting that God's mad at us, upset with us, or that God's going to do something to us. I mean, that's so crazy. that we're always expecting God to be the one to hurt us and do bad things. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. He says, the thief is the one that steals, kills, and destroys. Yet, we somehow have twisted it around to believe that God's going to do things to us or God's going to allow things to happen to us, that we can't trust God to protect us. Listen, the Bible says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You know, we may mess up. We may do things where our heart condemns us and we feel bad about ourselves, but I want you to understand something. God is never going to leave you. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to take his love away from you. And the moment you stop listening to your crazy thoughts and following your crazy, fearful emotions, you can settle down and get in touch with the love of God. You know, a lot of people ask me when they first get introduced to heart physics, they say, well, why do you have us go through physical relaxation before we attempt to get into our heart? Actually, we take people through physical relaxation, then through mental and emotional relaxation. And we do that because we know that if you are not in peace, you cannot hear the voice of God in your heart. And I'm telling you what, we live in such stress, it makes it almost impossible to ever really hear what God's saying to us today. You know, God's always trying to get us out of trouble. God's always trying to lead us into paths of righteousness and abundance. God's always trying to lead us away from temptation, anything that would cause us to strive or to struggle or to go go through hardship. He's always trying to take us to a banqueting table so he can anoint our head with oil and fill our cup, you know, and let us rejoice and feast in the presence and or in his presence. Listen, the Bible tells us that fear has to do with torment, or judgment, or you could even say condemnation. You see, the fearful are always expecting things to go wrong. You know, it's really interesting. The Bible tells us that if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains a fearful looking for a fiery judgment that shall destroy the adversary. It doesn't really say that's what God is doing. It says that's what starts happening in our heart. We start living under condemnation when we continue to, you know, to live dysfunctional, destructive lives. So fear is tormenting. Fear is stressful. Fear breeds negative thinking, and fear makes us make bad decisions. Fear causes our body to stop functioning properly. And then in the end, we say, see, God's getting even with me. God's doing this to me. You know, it's interesting, when you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, which talks about the second death, and, you know, talks about the time that will come when God will dry all of our tears. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more weeping. But the time that those who chose to reject Jesus' gift of righteousness would participate in their ultimate choice. And what's interesting, in those who live or those who face the second death, at the top of the list, you would think there would be idolaters would be at the top of the list. You'd think adulterers, liars, fornicators, murderers maybe would be at the top of the list. But at the very top of the list, it says, are the fearful and the unbelieving. Why would the fearful and the unbelieving be at the top of this list of people that are going to participate in the second death? Well, I'll tell you why. Because all disobedience, all unbelief is the product of fear. When we are afraid of God, we do not trust him. When we do not trust him, we do not follow him, obey him, and we don't believe his promises. And that's when we take shortcuts and we get out of here and try to find some goofy, messed up way to fulfill our lives. So, you know, we've got to come to the place where we have eradicated fear from our lives. See, peace is what is supposed to rule our lives. Now, again, I get it. Religion has so beat us up, and because we are not establishing our identity in Jesus, we're not focusing on who we are in Christ, how much we're loved, and what Jesus did for us. We're focusing on what we've done wrong, all the places we've messed up. But the Apostle Paul says that peace should rule in our hearts. In Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule or referee in your hearts. In other words, every decision that I make in my heart should be based on staying in God's peace. But if my heart is filled with fear, man, that's going to be an absolute impossibility. You know, the Apostle John teaches us something incredible about maintaining God's love. And, you know, love and peace, they're not synonymous, but love and peace tend to come hand in hand. If you've got the love of God in your heart, if you're experiencing the love of God, you'll experience the peace of God, because when you know God loves you, then you're not afraid that he's going to hurt you. 1 John 4:18, powerful, powerful passage, says this: there is no fear in love. So there's this situation where we realize, or there's this concept where we realize that love and fear are absolutely incompatible. In other words, you can't be afraid of God and experience the love of God. You can't be afraid of God and fall in love with God, or actually become truly devoted to him. So it says there is no fear in love. It says, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, what's interesting, it doesn't say that fear casts out love. It says perfect love casts out fear. As long as I am establishing my heart in the love of God, as long as I am following what the Bible teaches me to follow, to connect with the love of God, then fear will go out of my life. You know, there are people that just start trying to rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. Well, I guess that's all right. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But that's really not how the Bible tells you to deal with fear. The Bible tells you to deal with fear by filling your heart with love, because love drives out or casts out fear. And it says the reason love casts out fear is because fear involves torment. We've already talked about that. So you see, you can't really trust the love of God and think that he's trying to kill you. You can't really experience God's incredible value for you that he expressed through the Lord Jesus and walk around under the expectation that he's going to make things go wrong. You see, I'm going to tell you something. We live in such a double-minded world. I mean, we just flip from one position to another position. You know, I'll listen to sermons sometimes on Christian television. I don't watch much Christian television. We don't know the truth. It annoys me, and most of it's unscriptural. Most of it hurts your faith. Most of it just aggravates you. I don't know why in the world people watch most of what's on Christian television. Furthermore, I don't even know why they support most of what's on Christian television. You know, the Bible says, cease to listen to instruction that causes you to err from the faith. I'm going to tell you something. When somebody's making you afraid of God, they are destroying your faith, because faith works by love. Faith doesn't work by fear. Trust and faith are the same thing. You don't trust someone you're afraid of. But it's amazing. I'll listen to people from time to time because I'm usually trying to find something good about them. I'm usually trying to say, you know, there's got to be something I can enjoy about this person. And I'll listen to some of these preachers, and it's like, man, it'll be good. Man, they're good news, good promises, love of God. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, then they're going to flip this thing over and suddenly make you afraid of God, as if at the end of a message about God's love, the one thing they got to be sure of is that you're afraid enough to obey God so that he'll love you. Man, that is so absolutely sick and unscriptural and not even based on the new covenant. I want to tell you something. You can only be a healthy physically, healthy emotionally, healthy spiritual person to the degree that your heart is established in love, because love is the root of dignity and worth. Love is the root of all self-worth. Love is the root of all positive emotions and feelings that are going to work in your life. Love is the root of a healthy perception that makes you able to see the world the way God wants you to be able to see the world. You don't need to be listening to anything that's going to make you afraid and make you expect bad things to happen to you. It says that he who fears has not been made perfect in the love of God. I love the way the Amplified Bible says that. The Amplified Bible says that this person is not fully convinced that God loves them with a perfect love. And that's really what it really all comes down to. You see, we have listened to religious preaching for so long. We listen to people tell us negative things about God for so long that we have this concept of who God is. We have this concept of how life is supposed to work, and that creates a perception problem. It creates the way we interpret the Bible when we read it. It creates the way we interpret everything that God even speaks into our heart. You know, all of this started in the Garden of Eden. You know, in the garden, after man fell, Genesis 3:8 tells us that the voice, in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden, and he called out to Adam and said, you know, Adam, where are you? Now, the original language indicates that God was calling out for reconciliation. He wasn't calling out in anger. He wasn't calling out in judgment. He was calling out for reconciliation. But the Bible also tells us that Adam hid himself from God. And when God and Adam finally spoke, God's like, why did you hide from me, Adam? He said, well, I was afraid because I was naked. Now, God was there to bring about reconciliation, but Adam, out of his fear, projected onto God the idea that you are here to get even with me because I'm naked. You see my faults. You see my failures. And you're here to get even. I want to tell you something. From the garden until now, we have believed a lie about God. We believed a lie about who He is, and then we have projected those fears onto Him, and we've interpreted the Bible from that fear. You know, I hear preachers say this all the time, and I'm talking about good men. I'm talking about men who really preach a pretty good message most of the time. But I hear people say this all the time, that the old covenant was a covenant of fear. You know, I have a hard time understanding how the old covenant could be a covenant of fear. Now, we see the word fear in the old covenant where God talks about, you know, fear of the Lord. Well, you know, first of all, we know that in the Hebrew, that word fear has to do with an awe and a respect that promotes worship, that promotes reverence. And we also know that when Jesus translated the word fear in relationship to the fear of God, in the book of Matthew, whenever he was being tempted by the devil, he translated it as the word worship. It says that God's the only person that we should worship. Well, he was quoting from a passage of Scripture that in the English Bible used the word fear. I mean, even Jesus understood you're not supposed to be afraid of God. You're supposed to reverence Him. You're supposed to hold Him in respect. You're supposed to hold Him in awe. And you're supposed to love Him. All through the Old Covenant, God said over and over and over again that He wanted you to love Him with your whole heart. And He said, now if you'll do these things that I'm teaching you, if you'll put them in practice, then you'll have a great life. You'll eat the good of the land. And you will trust me, and you will love me. So the Old Testament never was about fear. You know, if the Old Testament was about fear, then why is it all through the Old Testament that every time God appeared to His people, He generally appeared and said, peace unto you. Or He would appear and say, fear not. So if God was the God of fear, and if God was going to try to get people to do what they needed to do through fear, He would have appeared and said, you better pay attention or I'll kill you. No, He didn't do that. He said, don't be afraid. Because He knew that people could only have the kind of relationship with Him that they were called to if they were relating to Him through peace. But you see, we seek to understand God through our perception. And then we project that onto God. You know, let me just say this before I get off this thought about the Old Testament. You know, the Bible says that God has never changed. Now, if God has never changed, how could the Old Covenant be about fear? And how could God be about wrath in the Old Testament and be about love in the New Testament? See, we don't want to accept that we just have an inability to properly translate or properly understand and interpret Scripture. And we look at these scriptures of some phenomenally violent things that happened in the Old Testament, and we can't see love in them. And so we project our judgments onto God rather than just saying, you know what, I may not see the love of God in this, but God is love, and somehow in this, either in this life I'll come to understand it, or in eternity I'll come to understand that God is a God of love, and that everything that God has ever done, He's done because He loved us. I mean, stop and think about it. Religion has made us afraid of God, has made us unsure of what God's going to do. How can you have faith? How can you feel good about yourself? How can you have dignity and worth? How can you go through life with confidence if you're just totally unsure of what God might do? And then religion has made us afraid of the devil. Man alive. You know, we can't trust God. We're not sure what God's going to do. And then we're afraid of the devil. We think that the devil can just do about anything to us anytime he wants to, and that we can't stop him. If we rebuke him, he'll just come against us harder. You know, I get messages from people that say, you know, my life, since I've been getting my life on track, the devil's just been coming against me. No, he hasn't. That has nothing to do with the devil. The devil's not going to come against you harder just because your life starts coming together. You know, there may be people that are coming against you. There may be circumstances that you're growing out of, and you realize you don't need to be in those circumstances anymore. But, you know, if the devil does attack you, and if you rebuke him, the Bible doesn't say he'll come against you harder. It says he'll flee from you. So we're afraid of God. We're afraid of the devil. And we're afraid of temptation. Basically, we are made to feel totally powerless pretty much in all of the circumstances of life. Then we're taught that God uses bad things to teach us, and this is how He's going to instruct us, and this is how He's going to get us to change. He's going to kill our kids. He's going to burn our house down. Tornadoes are going to hit us. Let me tell you something. God is our protector. He is a God of peace, not a God of trouble. He is a God of peace, not a God of chaos. He is a God of love, not a God of hate. His mercy triumphs over judgment. The most powerful thing about God is His absolute, complete mercy and love. And God wants us to experience that because He wants us to understand how much He loves us. Because at the end of the day, I want you to realize that the ability to have self-worth is totally connected to the degree that we can experience the love of God. You know, the Apostle John told us in 1 John 4, he said that the love of God is manifest in the fact that Jesus became our propitiation. The word propitiation means the satisfying of wrath. In the Old Covenant, we get a concept of how much God hated sin. Well, why did God hate sin? Because of how it affected man. Because sin is when you don't believe the truth about who you are. You don't believe who you are in relationship to God. You think and feel and act in ways that are beneath who you really are and beneath the life that God has for you. And you hurt other people and you destroy planet Earth. God hates sin because of the way that sin affects man. And so God's always hated sin. But at the cross, all of God's wrath towards sin and for sin was satisfied. And if we believe that about the cross of Christ, we would start connecting to how much God loves us. And the word love basically means value. And to the degree that we feel valuable to God, then we can have value for ourselves. We can have that sense of dignity and worth. We can start facing life with confidence. We can walk through the world with our head held up high. We can have just a sense of I'm a king's kid. My father is the creator of the universe. I can face anything. I can overcome anything. I can handle anything. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind or good judgment. I want to tell you something. When fear is eradicated by the love of God, you're going to feel powerful. You're going to feel peaceful. You're going to be filled with love, and you're going to have a sound mind. In other words, you're going to be able to make great decisions. Listen, I want you to come back in just a few minutes. I'm going to share a mentoring moment with you where you can take some practical steps to connect to the love of God and overcome fear. So the Bible says that God's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So the first thing you need to do is you need to assess yourself. Do I feel powerful? Do I feel like I'm able to overcome life circumstances no matter what they are? Do I feel loved by God? Do I feel valuable and precious to Him? And thirdly, am I confident that I'm able to make good decisions no matter what the situation is? You see, if those three things, if I don't have a positive answer on those three things, then it's obvious that the love of God is not working in me. I don't have that sense of dignity and worth that I need. If you want to establish yourself in this kind of power, love, and a sound mind, you've got to go back to the cross, and you've got to make sure that you understand what Jesus accomplished for you at the cross. You might want to do a checklist and ask yourself some questions. Do I believe that Jesus became my sin? Do I believe that He took all of the punishment I would ever deserve? Do I believe that God made peace with me through the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, He's not seeking to hurt me. And number four, do I believe that all of the promises of God are yes for me because I believed on Jesus? You've got to reconcile those four issues if you're going to establish yourself in power, love, and a sound mind. You know, if you've never read my book, The Gospel of Peace, you might want to read it. It's one of the most powerful books you'll ever read about understanding what happened at the cross. It'd be a great companion for this series, Dignity and Worth. Until you resolve those four issues, you are going to struggle. You're going to be on and off. You're going to be up and down. You're not going to make great decisions because you're not going to have a sense of dignity and worth. But I'm going to tell you something. That can turn around in almost no time.